Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today I want to kick things off with a concept that sounds amazing on paper in a pitch deck, but for most businesses, it's actually a bit of a nightmare. It's this idea of infinite shelf space.
It does sound like the dream, doesn't it? You know, no rent, no physical walls, just endless room.
Theoretically, yes. I mean, you look at platforms like Google or Spotify, YouTube, even just your own email inbox, there are literally zero physical limits. You could publish, 10,000 articles or send 1 million emails.
But nobody does.
But nobody does. And the reality is most businesses are running what I've started calling the empty store.
The empty store. I like that.
They've got the shelf space. They've got all the distribution channels. But they have absolutely nothing new to put on the shelves.
Yeah, it's the classic digital paradox, isn't it? We're in this economy of content saturation. For anyone consuming it, but for the creator, it's production exhaustion.
Yeah.
The pipes, like you said, the channels, they're infinite. But the water, the actual content, mm-hmm. It's just trickling through.
Because it's bottlenecked by human time and budget and just burnout.
Exactly.
And that specific friction point is what we're really digging into today.
Yeah.
We've got a really interesting pairing in our source material. On one side, there's GetResponse. Now, I think most of our listeners will know them. They're a huge player in email marketing automation.
Right. They're the infrastructure. Trusted by, something like 350,000 customers. They've got a 99% deliverability rate. They are the pipes.
But great pipes don't matter if you have no water. And that's where the second tool comes in. Auto Content API. It calls itself an industrial-grade content transformation engine.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission today is to figure out what happens when you plug that engine into the GetResponse ecosystem. Can you actually fill that empty store without, hiring a Hollywood production team?
Well, this is really a story about a shift in economic models. We're moving from what you could call linear manual creation, one person, one blank page, to something more like exponential automated transformation.
Okay, before we get too abstract to transformation, let's ground this in reality. I was looking through the GetResponse features in the brief, and it's pretty impressive stuff.
It really is. GetResponse has come a long way. It's not just about sending newsletters anymore. They're offering unlimited landing pages, website builders, these complex conversion funnels, even webinar hosting. The capacity is just, it's all there.
So you could theoretically send a different personalized email to every single subscriber every single day.
You could. And you could build a unique landing page for every single SKU you in your inventory.
But nobody does that.
No.
Because who's doing the work? I mean, if I'm a solopreneur or even running marketing for a decent-sized e-commerce brand, I'm probably just struggling to get one good newsletter out the door on a Tuesday.
And that's the production bottleneck. I mean, think about a traditional content team. It's completely siloed. You've got your writer over here. Then if you want a podcast, suddenly you need an audio engineer. You want a video, you need an editor or a videographer.
The social media manager for TikTok.
Right.
And the cost is just, I was looking at the data from the auto content source, and it's eye-watering. It says outsourcing just one podcast episode can range from $100 to $15,000.
Depending on the quality, sure, absolutely.
And a short video, $50 to $300 a pop. So if I have, say, 100 products I want to promote in my GetResponse emails, I'm looking at $30,000 just for the video assets.
That's why the store stays empty. It's just simple economics. Most GetResponse users can't afford to fill every channel. They have to pick one, usually text emails.
Yeah.
And so they ignore Spotify, they ignore YouTube, they ignore social audio. They're just leaving money on the table because the price to play is too high.
So enter Auto Content API. Now, I have to be a little skeptical here for a second. We've all heard about AI content tools for years. And usually that just means a tool that writes a pretty mediocre blog post for you. But this claims to be a transformation engine. What's the real distinction?
It's a really crucial difference. A writer tool tries to, come up with the idea for you. A transformation engine assumes you already have the core idea.
Right.
Maybe it's that one good blog post you wrote, or a PDF report, or even just a product description. Auto Content API decouples the ideation from the production. It takes that one single asset and then programmatically transforms it into audio, video, and social snippets all at the same time.
So it's not trying to be creative. It's trying to be a factory.
That's the perfect way to put it. It markets itself as the Notebook LM API alternative, Google's Notebook LM tool.
Yeah, the one where you can drop in a PDF and has two AI hosts kind of talk about it. It's fun, but it's very manual.
Exactly. Notebook LM is for consumers. You drag, you drop. Auto content is built for enterprise. It's designed to be automated, to be integrated into a workflow, to scale. It fills that gap for businesses that need to do that notebook LM thing maybe 1,000 times a day, triggered by an API call, not a mouse click.
All right, let's get practical. I want to walk through what this actually looks like for a real business. Let's imagine a company using GetResponse. We'll call them the Widget Co. They send out a weekly newsletter.
Okay.
Right now, that newsletter is just text, maybe a stock image if they're feeling a little fancy. How does this whole integration change things?
This is where we get into what the source calls the inbox of the future. The workflow totally shifts. So the Widget Co. marketing manager writes the weekly update. But instead of just hitting send in get response, that text first gets passed to the auto content API.
And what comes back?
A studio quality MP3 file, a full podcast episode.
Okay, but hang on. When you say podcast, are we talking about like one of those robotic text-to-speech voices just droning on and on?
Yeah, I was waiting for that question.
Because if I send that to my customers, they're going to unsubscribe so fast.
Of course. And no, we're not talking about that old school text-to-speech. We're talking about semantic analysis. The API uses multiple voices, like a host and a co-host. They actually banter. They might interrupt each other. If the text has a joke, you'll hear them laugh. If the topic gets serious, their tone drops.
So it actually sounds like a radio show.
It sounds frighteningly human. The source had a great testimonial from Marta Rios at a company called Alta Vista. She just said, "We finally have a weekly podcast without hiring anyone."
That brings up another use case they mentioned that I flagged, the CEO paradox. I see this everywhere. Every marketing expert is saying, you need to build a personal brand. People trust people, not logos.
Right, but the CEO is always the bottleneck.
They're the busiest person in the whole company.
Yeah.
They do not have time to sit in a recording booth for an hour every Tuesday just to record a company update.
And this is where the voice cloning feature is pretty wild. The CEO records their voice. Just once a few minutes of audio is all it takes to train the model. After that, the marketing team can write the update, send the text to the API, and the API generates the audio in the CEO's voice.
That is, wow. It's efficient for sure, but it also feels a little bit Black Mirror.
It's definitely a brave new world. But just think about the utility for a second. You're sending a get response email. Instead of this big wall of text that's asking for 10 minutes of someone's undivided attention, you can embed a simple listen to this email button.
Or attach the weekly CEO update as a podcast episode.
Right.
I suppose for commuters, that is a total game changer. I delete so many newsletters just because I'm driving or walking my dog and I can't read. But I could definitely listen.
You're meeting the user where they are. You're turning a passive read later, which, let's be honest, means read never, into an active listen now.
Okay, so the Widget Co. have fixed its newsletter. They have audio now. But then they look at their website. They have hundreds of landing pages they built with GetResponse, and they're all just static.
And this is the second huge problem, the thin content problem.
Okay, explain that for anyone who isn't deep in the SEO weeds.
So thin content is what Google calls pages that offer very little unique value. If you've got 1,000 product pages and they all just have some specs and a generic description, Google's just going to ignore them. You won't rank.
And to rank, you need engagement. People need to stick around on the page.
And video is the cheat code for that. It's the ultimate sticky factor. We call it dwell time. If a user lands on a page and watches a 60-second video, that sends this massive signal to the search engines that your page is valuable.
The source material said a page with video is 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times.
That seems wildly high.
It is, but it tracks with user behavior, right?
Yeah.
We prefer watching to reading. But again, the Widget Co. hits that cost wall. They cannot pay a video editor $300 for every single landing page.
So how does the API solve this? It's not just doing audio, it's doing video too.
Yes. It works with what they call multimedia injection. The API can actually crawl a URL. So you give it the link to your GetResponse landing page. It reads the content, it pulls the images, it understands the context, and it generates a 60 to 90 second explainer video, or even a vertical short.
Without a human editor touching a single thing.
Zero human touch.
Okay, let's do the math on that. Because if this is expensive, it doesn't solve the problem.
Right, and this is where the economics just completely flip. We call it cost arbitrage. Manual video production, let's be conservative, say $300. According to the pricing model in the source, generating a video with the API uses about 400 credits.
And what does that work out to?
On their standard business plan, that's roughly €4.
€4 versus $300.
That's the difference, and that's what makes these long-tail strategies profitable. All of a sudden, the Widget Co. can actually afford to have a unique video for a product that maybe only sells 5 units a month. Before, that was impossible.
Now it's a competitive advantage. You can dominate these little niches that your competitors literally can't afford to touch because they're still paying humans to do what a robot can do.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered the inbox, we've covered the website, but there was a third part in the outline that I think is the most futuristic piece of this whole puzzle.
Newsjacking.
Ah, yes. The reaction loop.
Speed is everything right now. If something happens in my industry, a big regulatory change, a viral trend, whatever, I want to be able to talk about it now.
Not next week.
Not next week when my production team finally gets the video edited. The news cycle is long over by then.
For sure. And this is where the automation gets really sophisticated.
Yeah.
Auto Content API isn't just a content creator. It's also a listener. It connects to real-time social media feeds, specifically from X and Reddit.
So it's actively monitoring the internet. It's monitoring sentiment and trends based on keywords that you set up.
Okay, walk me through a scenario. Let's say I'm in the crypto space. It's 9 a.m. and Bitcoin crashes 10%. What happens?
Perfect example. So let's play this out. At 9:00 a.m., the crash happens.
Okay.
At 9:01 a.m., the Auto Content API sees a huge spike in negative sentiment and keywords like crash, sell, Bitcoin on X and Reddit. That's the trigger.
05 a.m., the API kicks off what's called the deep research endpoint. Now, this is key. It doesn't just ask an LLM what it knows, because that training data is old. It actually uses agents to browse the live web.
So it's acting like a journalist doing rapid research.
Exactly. It's reading the latest news, checking the current price, finding out why it crashed. Then at 9:10 a.m., it moves to creation. It takes all that fresh research and generates a market alert audio summary or vertical video breaking it all down.
And then distribution.
At 9:15 a.m., you hit distribution. That new audio or video asset is automatically fed into a GetResponse workflow. It can trigger a push notification or send a breaking news email blast to your whole list.
So by 9:15, while my competitors are still drinking their morning coffee and scrolling through Twitter trying to figure out what's going on, I've already sent a personalized multimedia update to my entire customer base.
Precisely. You look like a global newsroom, like a Bloomberg or a CNN, but really it was just a reaction loop running quietly in the background.
That is really powerful. But, you know, I have to ask the obvious question here. You keep saying API.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear API, my brain, and probably a lot of our listeners' brains, just hears, I need to hire a developer.
Right.
GetResponse users are marketers. They're not coders.
That is a totally fair pushback. And look, if this required you to write a bunch of Python code, it just wouldn't work for this audience.
Yeah.
But there's what you could call a no-code bridge.
The bridge.
Think of it like this. GetResponse is the destination, right?
Yeah.
That's where you want your content to end up. Auto Content is the factory where the content is made. You just need a delivery truck to get the goods from the factory to the store.
And that delivery truck is a tool like?
A tool like Make.com or Zapier.
Okay, I've used Zapier. Most people have.
So you're not writing code. You're just drawing the map once. You say, when a new blog post appears here, that's your trigger, send the text to Auto Content. That's your action. Then take the audio link that comes back and create a draft and GetResponse. Another action.
So it's a simple workflow.
It is. Auto Content is API first,
yeah.
Which sounds scary, but it really just means it's built to plug into these no-code tools. And GetResponse already has over 170 integrations, so the doors are wide open.
It's set it and forget it.
It's headless content production. It just runs in the background. Mm-hmm. You focus on the strategy. The machines handle all the logistics.
There's one more piece to this puzzle, though, when it comes to expansion. The GetResponse source mentions they support over 160 countries.
Yeah, a huge global footprint.
But again, our Widget Co. is based in Ohio. They speak English. They're basically ignoring the rest of the world.
And this is the one-click global business idea. Auto Content API supports over 50 languages.
I saw a quote from a user in the source, Luca Ferraro, and he said something like, "We launched Spanish and English versions on the same day. Huge win."
Think about that workflow we just described. You write your email in English, the API gets it, but it doesn't just do a cheap Google Translate. It synthesizes the audio in Spanish, in German, in Japanese, using native-sounding voices for each of those regions.
So you're not just translating the words, you're localizing the entire experience.
You are instantly expanding your total addressable market.
Right.
You didn't have to hire a Spanish translator or a German voice actor or a Japanese editor. You just checked a box in the workflow.
It really does feel like we're moving from manual creation to automated transformation. GetResponse gives you the vehicle, and this API is providing the fuel.
And the fuel is infinite and, crucially, low cost. That's the key.
I want to zoom out for a second as we wrap up. We've talked a lot about humans listening to all this content, commuters, customers on landing pages. But you mentioned something in the pre-show notes that really caught my eye. The agentic web.
Yes. This is the part I think most businesses are completely missing right now.
What does that even mean?
We're transitioning away from a web where humans type keywords into a search bar and scroll through blue links. We're moving toward a web where AI agents, you know, ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, they browse the web on behalf of humans.
So the AI is the customer.
The AI is the gatekeeper. And these agents, they crave structured data. They don't just read text anymore. They're increasingly indexing audio and video to understand the full context. If your business is just flat text on a page, you are giving these agents a very one-dimensional view of who you are.
So how does having a podcast or a video actually help with that?
Well, when you use a tool like Auto Content API, you're not just getting an MP3 file. You're getting the metadata, the full transcript, the structured audio. You're creating this rich multimedia footprint that signals authority to these AI agents.
So if a user asks their AI, tell me the latest news from the Widget Co., what happens?
The AI can actually listen to your CEO's audio update and synthesize a proper, accurate answer.
Whereas if there was no audio,
it might just hallucinate an answer, or more likely, it would just say, I couldn't find any recent information.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to take in. So what you're saying is, by doing all this automation now, it's not just about saving time today.
Not at all.
We're actually kind of future-proofing our content for when AIs are the ones doing the browsing.
That's it, exactly. Mm. If your content isn't in a format these agents can easily digest and verify, you might as well be invisible. That empty store isn't just bad for human customers. It's going to be fatal for AI discovery.
Well, I certainly need to go audit my own shelf space. This has been a fascinating look at how the pipes and the water can finally connect.
It's an exciting time to be a creator, that's for sure.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.